Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. It's your boy Ramiz, and I'm going to be going solo today. Of course, usually I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Hadis. But unfortunately, the cold has taken down another one of our individuals. Of course, I was dealing with it last week, so unfortunately, I couldn't do any of the podcast. And I apologize in advance if I start to cough and I take a little break to drink some water. But hopefully everything else goes all well. We got a hefty slate, of course, a 10-game slate. However, DraftKings has separated the two. I don't know the reason why. So it's separated in terms of a 8-game slate, the first 8 games, and then the two late night games are in their own slate. So we'll be discussing all 10, but the 2-game slate, I guess, will be at the end, I guess, towards the end. And yep, I guess let's jump straight into it. Starting off with injuries. In terms of main injuries, we got Joel Embiid, of course, being unavailable. I believe it was due to his knee once again. Tyrese Haliburton, of course, if you don't know, he got injured. He will be out for 2 weeks. Trae Young is questionable, but I think he is probable to play. Of course, LaMelo continues to be out, but I think he is nearing his return, so one to watch out for. Porzingis is questionable. Kay Cunningham is out for, I believe, 7 to 10 days, which is already rough, as it is for Detroit fans. It got just a whole lot rougher. Zion Williamson is questionable. Of course, he missed last game. Jimmy Butler out again. Drew Holiday is questionable. Zach LaVine questionable. Al Horford, DeAnthony Melton questionable. Gordon Hayward and Mark Williams for the Hornets are out. Of course, Chris Paul continues to be out. Clint Capela questionable. Tari Eason, Zach Collins, all out. Then you got Caleb Martin, PJ Washington, and Cody Martin, all questionable. And then you got, I guess, to mention this mid-tier players, I guess. DeAndre Hunter, Isaiah Stewart, and Dylan Brooks, all out again. And that's crucial questionable. I think those are all the main injuries I have listed for you guys. In terms of, I guess, some notable points in terms of Bet365 predictions for Wednesday's slate. I guess starting off with the highest game that is predicted by Bet365, Washington and Indiana, over under around 252. And then you got second, I think it is Philly versus Atlanta at 244. And low-scoring games, according to Bet365, is Houston and Chicago, 215.5 over and under. And then you got Minnesota-Boston at 223.5. The rest of games are probably in the same area, the same average area, around 235, plus minus around those. But let's go straight into the slate, starting off with the point guard position. And I got a good amount of players on my list today, and I think I got some solid ones for you guys. In terms of the high tier spend in point guard, straight off the bat, there were some solid options, but I decided to go for Tier Wazir based off a good amount of factors. First off, matchup. Tier Wazir previously in this matchup had a great game against the Sacramento Kings, and I don't see why he wouldn't be able to do it again, especially playing in Charlotte. On top of that, I guess current form, Tier Wazir has been pretty solid, continues to get the same amount of shots, and he's been explosive. And of course, like I said, in this matchup against the Kings, he will be going against a Sabonis in a pick and roll. So if that matchup can be exploited, I think that Rozier will be able to do his thing once again. And in terms of the other options, of course, you know, Tyrese Maxey is always an interesting player. But Tyrese Maxey, I guess, his stats haven't been that much better without Embiid, as they should be. And of course, you could always go for a higher tiers, but I did like Tier Wazir at his price tag. I think he was a bit under, and it allowed me to save money to spend somewhere else. And I guess the mid-tier wise, I guess let's go straight towards one player to replace an injured player that I mentioned in Tyrese Haliburton and TJ McConnell at 6,700. They're going to be going against Washington. Like I mentioned, this is predicted to be one of the highest scoring games. And TJ McConnell has had great games without Haliburton. And he's been able to take that mantle of, I guess, keeping that fast-paced offense by Indiana. And 6,700 is an appropriate price because he has those games where he can hit around 40 DK fantasy points. And against this Washington team, I could still see that happening because I don't think it's a tough matchup for him to get into his rhythm. And so at 6,700, I really like that price tag. I got another mid-tier player in Trey Jones at 5,800. Trey Jones, main reason going for this type of player is mainly because he's been starting these past two games, and he got 33 fantasy points, I would say, in both games. And, well, that's good to see, because that's all you want from Trey Jones, is for him to start, get around 30 minutes. And, I mean, he's a facilitator. He's a guy who won't score a lot, but he'll get other players involved. And I think Trey Jones at 5,800, as long as he starts, I think he's a solid price tag at that. It's a solid price tag for him. Budget wise, I decided to go for Nick Smith Jr. at 4,200. Of course, Charlotte has a lot of players that are questionable and injured. I mentioned Gordon Hayward, Mark Williams, PJ Washington is questionable, Cody Martin is questionable. So it's a lot of, like, you don't know who's going to play. So based off recent results, the last game, Nick Smith Jr. did get minutes, and he had a great game. He had, I think, 26 DK fantasy points, which is right around the corner of what you want if you're playing for a player at 4,200. And honestly, you're hoping he did have 32 minutes too. So against his team against Sacramento, maybe he gets those minutes a game. I think it's also a safe option, because if it is a blowout, I think he'll get minutes. Even if it is a close game, I think he will have a part to play in that game. And he had 15 shots, so that's always a good sign if you're getting a player at 4,200 who also had 15 shots. And then let's move on to shooting guards. Starting off with shooting guards, I didn't really go for two. I want to say high tier. This is, I guess, between the kind of at the border of mid tier and high tier, and that's Tyler Herro at 7,900. Tyler Herro was mainly a player I chose because he's a player who continues to respond when Jimmy Butler doesn't play. He's the main shot taker. He's the main point scorer. I think he has probably among the highest usage on the team. And, of course, they are going against the best, I would say not best, maybe most informed team in the league. So it will be tough. But in terms of shooting guards, I think he was among the better options that I liked. Because he's not too expensive. Like I said, he's only 7,900. And he's in that area where he can kind of raise your ceiling in terms of how great he plays. And of course, he could have those rough games, but with how much responsibility he has those games where he'll get you maybe 5 or 6 assists. And in that type of game, I think Tyler Herro at 7,900 is a pretty appropriate price to go for. Mid-tier wise, I'm going with Jordan Poole at 5,900. I mean, I'll mention it again. Going against Indiana, he's had his best games against Indiana. I think his best game of the season against Indiana. And at 5,900, I think he may be able to do it. Maybe able to do it once again. He's been on a rough stretch, hence why he's priced at 5,900. But hey, as long as things get back into form, I think Jordan Poole, you can expect him to get, once again, a lot of shots and hopefully get into rhythm and just be able to do his thing. Because as great as Indiana is at scoring the ball, they are not that great at defending. So I think Washington will have a lot of opportunities. Jordan Poole, I think, will be involved as well. To continue on with that game, I guess Bruce Brown at 5,600. Another one of those players who I looked at and noticed that he had took on a lot more responsibility when Tyrese Haliburton decided not to play. I mean, pardon me, not decided not to play, wasn't able to play. And Bruce Brown was one of those players. I think his shots was increasing. I think he had a lot more playmaking duties as well, because, of course, he can play. He did play a better point guard when playing for the Nuggets. And so at 5,600, I do really like this price tag against, against Washington. And then budget-wise, I decided to go with Sasser for 3,900. This is Marcus Sasser, pardon me, 3,900. And this is mainly due to the fact that, how I mentioned, Tyrese Haliburton being absent. Cade Cunningham is another point guard who is absent for this Detroit Pistons team. And yes, they have Killian Hayes, they have Jaden Ivey, but Killian Hayes, he can be a bit intriguing when it comes to taking on that mantle of being that main point guard. Of course, he can always get you assists, but scoring-wise, I think Marcus Sasser might be the better scorer of the two. So in the case where they need some scoring, I think Marcus Sasser will get an opportunity to at least touch the floor and have a few shot attempts up. And going against San Antonio, they're not a great NBA basketball team either, but I think he will definitely have a solid chance at least getting that opportunity to have a great night. And if he does, I think in the past he's had some great games where he's been able to reach 20 DK fantasy points. I think even as high as, I want to say 30 DK fantasy points when he was getting consistent minutes and was able to score or get you assists, then I think you're well suited to get your money's worth. All right, before we move on to small forwards, actually, I do want to talk about the NBA Fantasy Pass, which you can get for $6 per month. This is simply a pass which you get daily streams, you get recaps of the top lines every night. and you get Discord access to the pro, and an easy and amazing way to make money. You can also upgrade it to the All Sport package, which is $8 per month and includes the NFL, MLB, and NBA all in one. And if you're intrigued in all sports, I'm telling you, this is the package you want to go for. And all in all, at the end of the day, these passes will make you good money. All right, moving on to small forwards. Once again, I didn't go for any high-end player. I decided to go straight for mid-tier, starting off with Tobias Harris at 6,900. One of the first players I think I want to mention because Embiid's absence. Tobias Harris, I think another player who's had amazing games against Atlanta. I think averaged around 39 DK fantasy points against them. And without Embiid, I think it'll be another one where it is really possible because he takes on a lot more responsibility, takes a lot more shots. So the shots will be there to have a great night. Another mid-tier player I decided to go for was Bojan Bogdanovic. 6,600, because without Cade, I don't think they have a certified scorer to at least attempt a lot of shots. Of course, you have Alec Burks, Jaden Ivey, but Bojan Bogdanovic has been the one who I probably put my most trust in. I shouldn't be putting any trust in a Detroit Pistons player, but Bojan Bogdanovic clearly has been showing that he can score the ball at a good rate, hence why they're not trading him. So at 6,600, I do like that price tag because I think he will be one of those players who probably will have high ownership, mainly because guess what? You know what type of, you know what his ceiling could be, and it could be really high. But of course, the floor would be really low. It's a risk though. And at 6,600, I think I would take that risk, especially because the small forward position isn't that packed. Now for my cheapie, I went with Jayshon Tate at 4,300. Simply a player who has been taking on the mantle of being the starting small forward for the Houston Rockets. Like I mentioned, Tari Eason, Dylan Brooks, both injured, and Jayshon Tate was one of the players to step up. And he had a pretty solid night against Miami, which was the Rockets' last game. And I think Chicago might be another one of those games where he has a lot of responsibility because he will be going against a DeMar DeRozan, possibly a Zach LaVine. And so I think he will have some defensive responsibilities. And he's also been a pretty solid player in terms of, I guess, getting his numbers. I mean, he's always been able to just do what he does best, which gets you some rebounds, give you a nice defensive performance. And at 4,300, don't expect too much, of course. But as a starting small forward, he was going to get a lot of minutes and a lot more opportunity, which is exactly what you want if you're a defense player. Moving on to the power forwards. Decided to go for, yep, another Charlotte Hornets player at Miles Bridges at 8,200. Miles Bridges has been on a pretty good streak. I want to say scoring over 20 points in these past few games. He's also been the player who's been healthy. And I guess because of the injuries, I think he has a lot more opportunity to just keep on doing that. Keep on having the same performances that he's been having. And he is going against Sacramento, which might be a bit tough because you're going against Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray. But I think because DeMontis Sabonis in the paint, and DeMontis Sabonis, hey, it's not a knock on him. He's a great player, but defensively, he's just not a rim protector, right? And Miles Bridges can attack the paint. He can shoot. He has a really versatile game. And of course, not a likable player, of course. He has been able to hit around 40 DK fantasy points in the past games. So I'm thinking against the Sacramento matchup, I think when he's going to have the opportunity to the matchup, I think he's still be able to get his numbers. So at 8,200, I think it's a pretty solid price to go for. Mid-tier wise, I decided to go with Jaime Jaquez. Of course, Jaime Jaquez is not a player who I usually go for at this price tag, but I think due to the limited options in mid-tier area and also because Jimmy Butler's not playing, Jaime Jaquez can be one of those players who ends up stepping up and having a solid night against this OKC team because, like I said, it is not going to be an easy game for Miami Heat if they want to win this one, and it's going to require great performances not only from Tyler Herro and Bam, but also from these players. And I think Jaime Jaquez is going to be one of those players. He has shown in the past few games to be that playmaker. He's been gotten 8 assists one game, 6 assists another game. So I think that's a great element to see from a player, especially because if he doesn't have a great scoring night, you can always expect Jaime Jaquez to have an impact in terms of rebounding and getting you assists. And then budget-wise, I got 2 picks. Kevin Knox II at 4,000. That's a player who has been getting a lot more run, and he's been able to get around 18 DK fantasy points, 20 sometimes. And of course, no Cade Cunningham. So I don't know how much of a great pick this might be, but I think at 4,000, it's a risk that I really like because I know he can have that potential to have a really great game. I mean, I know he had one when he played, I think it was the my Raptors, of course. And at 4,000, really cheap price to go for. Another one I got, JT Thor at 3,600. I wasn't done with naming Charlotte Hornets players. So JT Thor at 3,600, another player taking advantage of the opportunity he's giving. He also, alongside Nick Smith Jr., got opportunity that last game, and he had a solid night. So I'm hoping he can do the same thing, especially in that case where PG Washington, of course, Mark Williams, Gordon Hoyer were not playing. If these guys are, PG Washington is not playing as well, Cody Martin, I think GT Tour will get another opportunity to at least have some minutes on the floor. And at 3,600, it's one of those cheap picks that I really like because you don't lose a lot out of it. And it allows you to go for these higher end players because perhaps you want to go for a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I don't know why I struggled with that. But if you do want to go for a player like that, then JT Thor at 3,600 is a pretty great pick to go for. I mean, it doesn't get as cheap as it gets, especially because the player you know is going to get a lot of minutes. And last but not least, the center spot. But before we deep dive into the center spot for this 8-game slate, because remember, we do have to talk about the other two games. I do want to talk about the DFS pass, which you can get for $5 per month. This is a pass where you get this DFS delivery, you get the Thrive Fantasy pickups, and this one you also get Discord access. I think this pass will also allow you to talk to me or any of our other people at Sports Ethos in this area, and it's just all around great package. Another way to make some great money and some good money, because you're getting advice from top tier players just like me. And yep, just overall great package. On to centers for this 8-game slate. So this is my main guy I'm going for. I talked about his defense, but I'm also going to talk about his offense now, and that's Domantas Sabonis at 10,000. I needed a killer pick, a pick that was really high tier, usually a player who I like to call my superstar pick, that if I was to build, because of course you build many slates, if I was to build my superstar slate, Sabonis would be my superstar at 10,000. Man, he's been on an absolute tear. He had 76 against my Toronto Raptors. What is it with players having amazing nights against Toronto? Well, Sabonis had 76 DK fantasy points against Toronto. That is absolutely absurd. And of course, he still ends up getting around 56, 60 DK fantasy points on a regular. Against Sacramento, I mean, pardon me, against Sacramento, against Charlotte, he had 51. Of course, the only scary part about this pick is, yes, I think he would be able to get 60 plus DK fantasy points. However, will he have enough minutes to do so? Because Charlotte, like I said, are depleted. And if this game is a blowout, that's a bonus. You're probably expecting him to sit out after 25 minutes or so. But in the case, that's why, like I said, you always got to have one pick, one slate built around a superstar player because you never know of the circumstances. And Sabonis could have one of those monster nights, but like I said, always got to be aware of the risk that comes with this type of pick. Next up, I got another expensive pick. I got Victor Wembanyama. This is a pick I really like at 8,900. Of course, one thing I noticed that he doesn't have the same shooting splits when he plays away versus when he plays at home. He's much more comfortable. However, the one thing that I noticed, right, in the past two games, where, like I mentioned, Trey Jones has started the past two games at point guard, and Wemby's had 250 DK fantasy points back to back. One on the road too against Cleveland, and they were both at around 25 and 26 minutes. So I'm hoping a game against Detroit, which is the worst team in the league, worse than them. Against, of course, Jalen Duren is a great defender, but Victor Wembanyama, like I mentioned, is 7'5", 7'6". Is he 7'5", 7'6"? Yeah, damn. But yeah, he's that tall, and you're hoping that he can have another similar performance just as the ones that he's had before, and hopefully Trey Jones plays a part in that because he has been the starting point guard, like I mentioned. He's gotten 18 shots, 13 shots in these past two games. One game, he only shot 46% from the field, but got 5 blocks, 10 rebounds. So even in the game where he's not efficient, he's getting blocks, rebounds. So against this Detroit team, I think it's very plausible to expect another one of these 50 plus DK fantasy point nights as long as everything is in play once again. And Victor Wembanyama, man, I think he, if you can incorporate him in your lineups, I think he's going to be in a good amount of lineups, mainly because of his performance is recent, and I think it has a lot of sense to it. On to some mid-tier picks. I decided to go with, mid-tier to cheap-tier area. Paul Reed, 5,700, another player, no Embiid. I think Paul Reed will play a huge part, especially going into the Atlanta Hawks team. Of course, I thought about the fact that maybe Mo Bamba might get more attention, but against Trae Young, against DeJounte Murray, I don't think Mo Bamba is suited to guard them in the pick and roll. That might be a nightmare matchup for him. So Paul Reed at 5,700, I think, matches up much better in that case scenario, especially going against like a Clint Capella or Onyeka Okongwu. He's just another player, Paul Reed. Has like a 10-minute jump when Embiid doesn't play. So plays from 15 minutes per game to 25 minutes per game when he's a starting center. And a 5,700, pretty solid price to go for. And he's had those nights where he can have a pretty solid night. I think he's touching around 30 DK fantasy points. Another one I got is Jalen Smith at 5,000. Player who is pretty cheap. Of course, Miles Turner is healthy. This is not like an injury replacement pick, but Jalen Smith has played some great basketball. One thing I've noticed, and the reason I like this pick, is because he's been playing with Miles Turner on the court. So it's clearly that Miles Turner, even if he's healthy or not, Jalen Smith has found ways to play with them, mainly because he's been able to shoot the ball here and there. And going against this Washington matchup, where in the case scenario where it is a blowout, I think Jalen Smith still gets a good amount of minutes to at least rack up his numbers and hopefully have a solid DFS night. Damn, that's a mouthful. Going solo is always a crazy task. But you guys must have thought we were finished. But nope, like I mentioned, DraftKings, for some unusual reason, has separated the late two games of the night. Of course, Denver versus Utah and Toronto versus the Los Angeles Clippers, the Raptors versus Clippers. So we got to discuss that slate as well. So I'm going to mention the players in terms of each game who I really like. Starting off with the Nuggets, Aaron Gordon at 6,400. By the way, before we go into this, there aren't any injuries actually from these four NBA teams besides Julius Strother and Jakob Poto. We'll get to that one a bit later. But for, like I said, to continue on, for the Nuggets, I got Aaron Gordon at 6,400. Aaron Gordon, just a simple player that I think is always expected to have a solid night. Especially because Michael Porter Jr. does tend to struggle sometimes, and I think Aaron Gordon is the one who has to pick up the slack. And especially because Aaron Gordon has these games where he really has an impactful night in terms of getting a few steals, a couple of blocks, rebounds, assists, and having a solid, efficient scoring night. I think Aaron Gordon at 6,400 in this type of slate, remember, because it's only a two-game slate essentially, so you can look to spend high and you have to spend high. So Aaron Gordon at 6,400 is a player who I really liked. For the Jazz, I decided to go with Lauri Markkanen at 8,100. A player who has been on a good streak. I think he's been continuously hitting around 40 DK fantasy points. And that's good to see because he had been injured for a good while, I want to say. And to finally come back and average around 40 DK fantasy points in the past six games is exactly what you want to see from him. He's previously had great performances against Denver as well. I think he had played one time. And as long as things go planned, especially playing in Utah, of course, the splits show Lauri Markkanen is less efficient in Utah, which is a bit strange, but he did have solid performances going up to this game where he was on the road and at home. I think you can expect another solid night from Lauri Markkanen if you want to go that route, of course. And then I got a few Utah players, actually. Walker Kessler at 5,000. Another player who I like in this matchup. He had a solid night against Denver last time. And he's been kind of getting back to streak, I want to say. Of course, we all know Walker Kessler last time around was a monster to end off DFS. But he's had a slow start. Like, not slow starts, but he's had these inconsistent nights where he'll only have like 12 DK fantasy points. Sometimes 20, sometimes 35, sometimes even more. And against Denver, where I think he might be more suited to guard a Jokic over a John Collins or over a Kelly Olynyk or even Lauri Markkanen if you want to play him at center. So I think Walker Kessler will get around 30 minutes to at least try to put a hold on Jokic, even though that won't be possible because you're talking about the finals MVP, two-time MVP as well. So it may be tough, but I think Walker Kessler at 5,000, really solid price, especially in this matchup. to go for. Then you got I got a couple of guards, and none of them are Colin Sexton or Jordan Clarkson, but they are around, I guess the budget side of things, which is Chris Dunn at 4,500, Keontae George at 4,400. Just a couple of players who also kind of playing some pretty solid basketball. Chris Dunn, I think, had around a high assist game against Milwaukee, it was, because they slapped Milwaukee. But yeah, I think he had a really solid night in terms of getting dishing the basketball out. And was it 13 assists? Yep, 13 assists. And then Keontae George had another solid night. Of course, Keontae George, before his injury, was playing some pretty solid basketball. But he had 19 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, was efficient as well, which you don't get a lot in Keontae George's games. So that was great to see. And these guys are pretty cheap, which is kind of why I like, especially because I think they will have an opportunity. I think they are the only point guards I want to see who will be getting opportunity, because Taylor Horton Tucker is no longer in the rotation as things stand. And that wraps around in there's some terms of this matchup. On the Raptor side of things, like I mentioned, Jakob Poeltl is out indefinitely. I don't know if there was a week, maybe it was 2 weeks. So I decided to go with Scotty Barnes at 8,700. This was my main guy for this slate if I'm building a lineup, mainly because I think his versatility is always something which I just love from Scotty Barnes. You know, he can always have those monster games where he can get a lot of stocks, rebounds, assists, points. And of course, his matchup would be tough, but I think Scotty has shown in these tough matches to really sometimes shine and just get to his spots. Of course, he still has been adjusting to playing with Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett. But in this type of matchup, I think you're hoping Scotty does play a bit selfishly and gets his buckets, his points. Because, you know, if you know in the past, Scotty Barnes has been one of the players who can get you 60 DK fantasy points on a really, really good night. And against this Clippers team, it will definitely be needed if they want to put on if they want to get a W out of it. Like I mentioned, Jakob Poeltl is out, and the only other options they have at center is to run Pascal at center, or Boucher, or Jontay Porter. Yeah, so their center options are absolutely slim. Of course, Christian Coloco is still injured. So I decided to go with Boucher at 4,800. One a solid player who I think will get a lot of minutes, mainly because, like I mentioned, Jakob Poeltl being out. And on top of that, he's a pretty solid defender, and he can space the floor. So in his absence, I think Boucher is a player who is really intriguing at his price tag at 4,800. And I think he's an opportunity to really take advantage on. Of course, probably high ownership, so you can't expect that. But with all due reason, because he will be getting a lot of minutes in the absence of Jakob Poeltl. Moving on to the Clippers. I got a few players, a few different routes you want to go with. Of course, I mentioned Scotty Barnes being as my main guy, but James Harden at 8,800 can also play the same position as Scotty Barnes. And he's another alternative player you want to go for if you want to build a slate around him, because he's also been on a pretty good streak of getting around 40 DK fantasy points. And it has been on like one of those forced nights, I want to say, because you can easily tell when Harden is in form, it's really hard to stop him. But he's kind of been casually just getting his numbers. And on a great night, similar to Scotty, I think he can have one of those solid nights. And I think against the matchup as well, Emmanuel Quickley, RJ Barrett, as a Raptor fans, I really do like them. But defensively, I think James Harden will have his way in terms of orchestrating what he wants to do offensively and just getting around these guys pretty easily. And another guy who I decided to go with was Paul George at 8,200. Similar to what I said, he's an alternative route to Lauri Markkanen. Of course, if you don't think Lauri Markkanen is your type of guy, you want to go with a different route. Paul George at 8,200. Another player who's been averaging around 40 DK fantasy points, so similarly to Markkanen. And I preferred Markkanen over him, mainly due to the fact that Paul George will be going against Scotty Barnes and Siakam, and it might be much more difficult to get his shots off due to the wingspan of this team. But like I said, I still like Paul George as an option if you want to go for him. I think him or Lauri Markkanen, great routes to go for. And lastly, I got Zubac, who is, when I was building my slate, was the first player I put up. No Jakob Poeltl, you're telling me Zubac's competition is Jontay Porter, Chris Boucher, and Siakam. Your only hope is Siakam, Boucher and Jonte Porter are shooting lights out so that Zubac has to guard out the perimeter. But if that's not the case, Zubac, you can expect him to have, once again, another monster night. 6,100, great price tag. And he's been averaging 33 DK fantasy points in these past few games. In the past two games, he's had 38 DK fantasy points against Phoenix and 50 against the Lakers. Of course, he played 37 minutes against the Lakers, 20 against Phoenix. But like I said, if no one's shooting lights out and Zubac can stay in the paint to guard the defense and on offense just simply catch lobs, get easy rebounds, then I think you're going to expect another solid night for Zubac. Like I said, if as all things stand, of course, you can't predict Siakam shooting four from three-point range. But that is unlikely to happen, right? So all odds, I would say Zubac is probably a must pick in terms of going for any slate you're going to build around, because Zubac is heavily likely to have a really great night. And that about wraps up this podcast. Of course, this is all for Wednesday, December 10th is games. Of course, they were divided in two slates. I'm hoping you guys win some good money. I think I did my best effort. Of course, I'm still dealing with that cold, so you got to cut me some slack if I'm off my game a bit. But other than that, if you guys ever have any questions, you can always hit me up at Twitter at TooNice. That'll be spelled TO0_nice_. And I'll catch you guys probably for this Friday slate podcast. But anyways, see you guys then. Have a great day, and hopefully you guys win some big bucks. Goodbye.